Well, good morning. See, good to see you all. I know some folks are already having to head out, but glad you're here today, and looking forward to being with you next couple days after this one. But let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, again, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. It's a little warm, a little humid, but Lord, we're alive, and we have you with us, and so, Lord, it's a great day. So, Lord, I pray you'll bless our time together today, that you'll be with those who might be hurting today, those who might not have gotten very much sleep last night. Lord, just pray, God, that you'll just do something special in their hearts today. And God, we just give you praise for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the good services we've had this week. Lord, last night was a special one, and we just are grateful for your grace and peace that you give us, Lord, and your patience with us as we struggle sometimes with staying on fire. And I thank you, God, that you are gracious enough to touch us when we need it and to pull us closer to you when we need it. And God, I just pray you'll just continue to move in us, that you'll help us to grow further and further, closer and closer to you. So we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have to admit that last night I was convicted quite a bit. I appreciate the message, Brother Ken. As I was sitting here, I realized that I allowed my condition to let my spirit be dulled. And I don't know if it's as much as the brain part of it or whatever, but I've just not been as sharp spiritually, and the Lord really touched my heart last night, and I really appreciate it, brother. We need to know that God loves us just the way we are, but he wants us to be as close as possible as we can be to him. And so just want to share that with you, that Lord's doing something good in my life this week, and I appreciate it, and I'm actually feeling better too, mentally, and it's been a great time to be with you. And so it's a pleasure to spend this time with you today. So today we're looking at chapter 5. And I asked Ken, I said, if he'd like to teach it today since he did such a good job last night. But he said no, he didn't want to. But he did a great job last night. So let's read it together in chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sin has no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. And for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. You live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why, as it said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, but because you will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord and in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we start with another therefore. Paul repeats himself quite a bit in this book. I don't know if, well, there's some scholars who think that perhaps this was actually a conglomeration of Paul's letters that he'd written, some short snippets to them, and he's repeating himself over and over again in these notes that he's sending to them. Or maybe I think it's more likely that maybe perhaps the Ephesians were hard-headed. That it took them a while to understand what God was trying to say to them and what Paul was trying to say to them. And I know there's nobody hard-headed here today, so we don't have to worry about that. But we are here because God has called us to be here, and he's called the Ephesians to himself in a way that is special. So the therefore takes us back to the first three chapters and also chapter 4, dealing with this is what good looks like and this is what bad looks like, and so be good and don't be bad. Therefore, be imitators of Christ. And that is a key aspect of what we got going on here. There we go. So the whole passage really deals with walking in the Spirit. The first 17 verses deals with the way of the walk, and there's some overlap. The last six verses deals with living in the light. And Paul concludes thoughts from Ephesians 4, where he described how Christians should relate to one another, that we should take care of each other, that we should honor one another and love each other. So walk in love. What does that mean? To therefore imitate Christ, be who we say we are and children of God. Children are natural imitators. I remember when my daughters grew up, my oldest one especially, I like to sit and think, and I put my fingers like this on my chin and put my fingers like this. And I noticed as she grew older, she was sitting there next to me and she'd be doing this like this. And now she's 45 years old, and when she's thinking, she sits down and she does this. They're imitators of us. They see us. They learn how to treat people. They learn how to talk. They learn how to understand the world around us through us. And as children, we should imitate Christ. We should be imitators of him, which means we need to spend time with him, to live with him, to be in him, be close to him, to let him rub off on us so that we can become more like him instead of more like ourselves. I know that I'm an imitator of my father. I know that I walk like him. I know that I talk like him sometimes. I know that he died when he was 60 years old, 30 some years ago. And I miss him greatly, but he's still part of me. I know that. But I pray that I've rubbed up against Jesus enough that enough of Jesus' characteristics are starting to show a little bit anyway, that he is in me and he's working in my, and I thank him for that. But children are natural imitators. And children have this humble strength. They want to be with us. They want to be with their parents, but yet they're strong. They have their own opinions and they have their own ideas and they have their own want to do things, but they are humble in the fact that they will listen to us, sometimes reluctantly, but they will listen to us and learn. But there's a humble gentleness, a humble strength in being a child of God, that God calls us to be gentle and humble, as we talked about yesterday. He calls us to be humble and gentle, and that meekness is something that the world doesn't think is very strong, and yet is a quiet strength, a realization that I have everything that I need in Jesus Christ, therefore I don't need to be in control. I don't need to be the one that makes the decisions. He tells us to do this in everything we do, to be imitators in Christ, that no matter what we're doing, whether we're at home alone, or we're at the marketplace, or we're at work, or we're here at Camp Sychar, that we should be the same three people that Christ has created us to be in all these places, in all ways. And so we can't live different lives in different places. We can't be one thing in one place and another thing in another place. We need to live a life that is consistent with the calling of Jesus Christ and what he's called us to do. Verse 2 talks about being life filled with love. Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Christ. And of course, none of us are Jesus. None of us will be Jesus. But compare ourselves to what he's called us to be, not compare ourselves to other people. When I was a young Christian, I always compared myself to the saints. I thought, I'll never get there. There's no way I could ever be like that person. I can never be like Sister So-and-so, who prays 24 hours a day, it seems like. I will never be like so-and-so, who is always at work for the Lord and doing all kinds of good things for God. I can never be like so-and-so. I can never do that. And I got discouraged. But don't compare ourselves to other people. Walk in the love of Jesus Christ and become the person that you're created to be. And God will make you everything that you can possibly be and need to be. Walk in love. Christ's love compels us to love. And the question is, what is perfect love? What is perfect love? John talks about perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fears. But what is perfect love? Any ideas? I'll let you talk for a minute. Any ideas? What is perfect love? Well, perfection is fulfillment of purpose. Then love, this perfect love, fulfills the love that God has for us. God is fully love. God's nature is love, and therefore his love for us is perfect. And that perfect love fulfills every part of the love that we need in our own lives. It is enough for us. It's all that we need. It's all that we could possibly want. It's all that we could possibly need in every part of life. And so his perfect love compels us to imitate him, to be close to him, to draw close to him, to rub up against him and have the rough edges worn off, as we talked about a few days ago. It's a matter of relationship, of being close to him. It talks about, and the sacrifice of Christ was like a sweet aroma offering that went up to God. And this goes back to the Old Testament in the sacrificial system. The sweet savor offering, as it's called in the King James Version, the burnt offering. There's this image in Hebrew thought that God would get angry at their sin, and his nose would flare. When somebody gets angry, your nose flares. His nose would flare at them. And in fact, the word for anger is actually tied to the Hebrew word for the word nose. It is part of that aspect that when you get angry, our nose flares. And the sweet aroma from the burnt offering would come up into God's nostrils, and it would calm him and appease him and make him happy. The sweet aroma would come up and make him happy. The Hebrews were very visual in their thinking. They were not abstract at all. They were very visual in their thinking. And so they thought of things that way. And so the sweet aroma of Christ on the cross was a sweet aroma to God himself. Of course, God knew the answer. That God knew that Christ was going to come back, that he was going to come back to life. But the fact that the salvation of the world was upon his son made God very happy and appeased that anger and that judgment that was in him. Verses 3 and 4 really contrast what a non-loving walk looks like. Sexual immorality. Porneia is the Greek word. We take that word and apply it to basically visual sin, looking at pornography, that type of thing. We have limited it that way. But porneia includes lust. It includes any type of infidelity. It includes any kind of sexual relationships outside of marriage. It covers all of it. And so sexual immorality in porneia is anything that we do that is not healthy in our sexual lives. And so porneia talks about impurity and uncleanness. If we have impurity, that means something can be pure. If we have uncleanness, that means something can be clean. And so stay away from impure things and stay close to pure things. Stay away from uncleanness and live a life that is clean and is pure and is faithful and is true. Greed and filthiness. Greed is a desire, and we think of it mostly of a desire for money, but it's a desire for anything that is unhealthy. A desire for somebody else's wife, a desire for somebody else's house, a desire for somebody else's home, a desire to have more of something that really I don't need. It's a desire to get what I don't really need and more than I want, more than I need. It's a desire that is unhealthy and becomes a god to us, a desire to have more than we really need. And so to avoid greed and filthiness, that those two words go together in some ways. The greed and filthiness, that greed will lead us to living filthy lives in a way that is dirty in the way we do things to get more stuff and to get the stuff that we want. And so it's a very important for us to not get caught up in the world's understanding of what success is. We've got to be very careful in that. When the world tells us that you're not successful unless you have a big house and you have a new car, and unless you have $1 million in the bank, you're not successful unless you have all the things that the world thinks you should have, that you don't look like a movie star, that if you don't whatever. But God tells us that we are successful when we're in Him, that we believe in Him and we are walking with Him, that we are successful in everything that we do. We might not have much, we might have a lot, but it doesn't matter. Christ in us makes us enough. And that's great. That's good news, because I don't have a whole lot. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for His grace. Obscene stories and coarse jokes. It's easy to get caught up in coarseness. We've had a lot of coarseness in the news lately from our leaders in our country. Been saying things that have been very coarse and harsh and mean-spirited. And we can get caught up in that and agree with it and say yes, yes, yes. And any kind of coarseness, any kind of coarse jokes, obscene stories, whatever it might be, are difficult, are not good at all. Anytime we have to curse to say, get something across really is not good. It's really not good at all. It's not good for our souls. It's not good for the community. It's not good for the people we're talking to. So these things are part of the walk that is non-loving. It's a non-loving walk. They should not be seen within us. They should not be seen in us. They don't belong with us. They're not for us. They should not be part of who we are. And yet the world is so full of them, they're all around us. We can't help it. We cannot be around them, but they cannot be part of who we are. We can't let them become infiltrated into our lives and into our homes. We cannot allow it to infiltrate our thinking and our ways of living. We have to understand that God is greater than anything that this world can offer to us. Instead, show thanksgiving to God to those around us. Show thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? I mean, just think about it. I'm not asking for anybody to speak. Just think about it. What are you thankful for today? What is good in your life? What are you happy about that God is doing in your life? What has God done in the last few days that we've been here? What is God doing in your life right now that you're thankful for? And praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. Live a life of thanksgiving. Live a life of thankfulness that here we are, that we're alive. We have breath in our lungs. We had a wonderful testimony in prayer meeting today of a gentleman who has lung issues, that he should be dead now, but he's not. In fact, he's doing very well. Played his harmonica this morning for us. And God is doing an amazing thing in his life. And so he is thankful for that, and he praised the Lord for that. And we praise the Lord for it too. So let's be thankful for what God is doing and be thankful for what he's doing in those around us. Now we must notice that the theme of the moral appeal is very different than we think. As this quote says, it isn't avoid these things so you can be a saint. Rather it is you are a saint, so now live in a manner of that. Live in that manner. Live in that manner. Fitting for a saint. The constant moral appeal of the New Testament is simply this: be who you are in Jesus. Be who you are in Jesus. We don't do these things. We don't live this way to be a saint. When we come to Christ Jesus, we are placed in that heavenly realm. We are already a saint in God's eyes, and therefore live like it. Live like it. Don't put one foot in one world and a foot in the other world. Live like it. Put both feet in the world of heavenly truth and grace and presence. Walk in a worthy manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Then we have the consequences of sin in verses 5 through 7. Verse 5, no impure, immoral, or greedy person will enter the kingdom. Greed is idolatry. This impure and immorality we just talked about a little bit, but it's key to understand that this is a fact, that anyone who is impure, anyone who is immoral, anyone who is greedy, who goes after more and 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 more at the expense of other people, anyone who does these things will not enter the kingdom of heaven, will not enter it, period. No matter what, how many good things they do, no matter what they do for other people, whatever, if the spirit of greed, of the spirit of impurity and immorality within us is still here, then we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's a pretty strong statement, but that's what he says right here. In verse 6, he says, excuses of sin, empty words, try to fool believers. Don't listen to them. Those who say, well, it's okay, they're good people, it's okay, or it's okay that I do these things because look what I do, look what I've done for you, look what I've done for the church, look what I've done for the world, look what I've done for our country, look what I've done for whatever. Look what I've done. It's okay that I do these things. I some people believe they deserve to be able to do these things. And the fact is, none of us deserve to act wrong. There's nothing we can do that would make God happy if we're sinning. God's anger will fall on all who disobey. And that's a biblical text that tells us God will be angry for all who disobey him. And so we need to be aware of that we should not excuse the sins of other people, and we should not excuse our own sins or try to excuse them to other people. Don't join sinners in their folly. And that's the key. Don't be caught up in what everybody else is doing. Don't get caught up in what the mainstream ideas of things are. And that includes even sometimes in our I don't want to get political, but sometimes we get in our political situations and start talking about political things. We get caught up in what is most right politically more than we are what's right spiritually. We got to be careful not to go too far and what we see and what we do and what we think and what we say. Got to be careful how we treat other people. Don't join these folks. It's folly to do that. Don't join them. Live like children of light. Carefully consider that word carefully is important. Carefully. Are you careful when you're dealing with fire? Yes. Are you careful when you're walking around a bunch of snakes? Yes. Are you careful when you're in the middle of the street and there are traffic all around us? Yes. We need to be careful when there's sin all around us too. We need to be careful as we approach God's will for us in the midst of this broken world that we live. Carefully consider and determine what pleases God. What pleases God is most important. What makes God happy? And that's for us to love him with all of our hearts and all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. And remember, always remember, we were once children of darkness. Even though we might have walked with the Lord for most of our lives, maybe we were children, we got saved, we were still children of darkness at one time. That we did not know the truth. We did not know salvation. We did not know God's grace. We did not know the beauty of salvation in that way. And if you've not been sanctified, or when you got sanctified, you had not known the beauty of that salvation, that beautiful fullness of salvation of being in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us. You've not known that before. Remember that day. Remember that day that you became a believer. Remember that day that you were sanctified. Remember those days and hold on to that memory, because those are wonderful days, and hold on to the beauty of what God did for you on those days. And that will encourage you in the times of trouble that come around us, that God is still with us, and he's still the one who has saved us and is saving us every day. And he's one who purifies us, and he purifies us every day. It's a daily dying to ourselves. It's a daily living in him. We were once children of darkness, but now we're children of light. So rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that you're a child of light, that you are created to be a light in this world, to be make a difference in the darkness of this world, that you are this little light of mine. I will let it shine. Yes? Hide under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. We are called to shine as lights in this world, like the stars in the heaven. We should be stars in this community that we live in, beacons of light that show that Christ is here and that Christ loves people. Light produces only good and just and true. That word good is an interesting word. We have taken the good word good and we've made it something less than what it really is supposed to mean. We think there's something that is good, but then we think there's something that's better and there's something that's best. And good has become something less than best. You know, well, that was good, but it wasn't good as, you know, such and such is better. Well, that was good, but, you know, so-and-so sang that song good, but not as so-and-so sang it better. We make good into a something that is less than. And the fact is, the Hebrew word for good is tov. And that word is very important, because that's the word God uses when he creates the universe. And each day he says, and it was good. It was tov. And when we created human beings, he said, it was tov miod. It was very good. Very good. God doesn't do just average. Okay? God doesn't do just average. When God says it's good, it's good. It's complete. It's whole. It's ready to go. It has everything we need. When all creation was finished and he said it was very good, it means that all creation had everything that was needed for capacity, for life, and life with Jesus, with life with Christ, with life of God. That the creation had everything that was necessary for animal life to live, for plant life to live, for human lives to live. It had everything that was necessary for community to develop. It had everything necessary for relationship with God to be part of who we are. It had everything necessary. It was very good. Very good. And life produces only good. What does God produce at the beginning of creation? First thing he says is, let there be light. And light came into the darkness. And that allowed everything else to take place. Light brings only good. Light brings only justice and justness. Being just is being right, being made right, being made, it sets us straight. If you will, it sets us up where we're supposed to be, in line with Christ Jesus. And truth, you know, the question is, what is truth? You know, we struggle with truth in our society a lot. You never know when somebody's telling you the truth or not. You never know what you're hearing on TV is true or not. You never know if the salesman at the car store is telling the truth or not. You don't know these things. And yet in the midst of it, God is true. And we live in truth through him. And light only produces truth. Light will expose falsehood. Light shines in the darkness and exposes falsehood, exposes sin. It reminds me of John 3:16, 17, and 18. We all know John 3:16 and 17 verses. First says, and Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But those who are condemned, that walk in darkness, stay in darkness and refuse to walk in the light. That's my adjusted version of it. But it's literally talking about those who walk in darkness are the lost ones. They refuse to step into the light to be exposed in their sins. And so with that, light produces only good and true and just. Verses 10 through 14, take no part in evil deeds, expose them. Not only are we not to take part in evil deeds, but our presence, the spirit within us, should expose those evil deeds before them. We might not even have to speak. Just the fact that we're there makes people feel guilty because of what they're doing. Because, when I pastored that small church, I think I talked about the other day, the very first pastor I had, had that trailer park there. And I would go through the trailer park every once in a while just to say hi to people, and they'd be, have their beer out and everything else. And I'm walking down the street, and they're putting their beer away, and they're hiding their stuff, here comes a preacher, here comes a preacher, type of thing. And it was just funny in some ways, but just because I was a pastor, they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew that they needed Jesus. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that our witness of who we are, just who we are, should speak volumes. Should speak volumes to the world around us. People should know who we are just simply because of we are in Christ Jesus. So again, expose them. Carefully consider, carefully consider what pleases the Lord. Don't participate. Expose them by our light. It's shameful to even talk about what sinners do in secret. Sins exposed in the light. When we talk about sins that are done in secret, when we talk about what other people have done or what we have done and think about what we have done in a secret or whatever, it's sinful even think about them. We just need to confess them. Confess them and give them to the Lord and let it go. It's sinful to even keep bringing it up on your mind over and over and over and over again that I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. If the Lord has forgiven you, it's done. It's done. Don't keep bringing it back to your mind, because it just refuels that memory in your head of your sinfulness. Don't do it. But also don't participate in exposing other people's sins by talking about them behind their back. It is important for us to just confront people for who they are. And if it's something we need to do in love, then we do it in love. Sometimes it takes tough love, but we do it in that way. But we don't talk about people behind their back. It's sinful to talk about in secret about other people's sins. It's just wrong. So we got to be careful that we don't do that. We have a tendency to say, well, let me ask you to pray for brother so and so. Then we talk about what that person has done, and we spill all the dirt about what they're going on in their life. And it's good to say pray for so-and-so, but to talk about what's going on in their life is gossip. And so we got to be careful not to gossip, and to be careful not to do those kinds of things. Sins are exposed in the light, and again, just be light. Be light. Some manuscripts add in this passage, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, that's a beautiful image that we have. It's the fruit of the Spirit is given to us in the book of Galatians. But when we have this picture that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, it is righteousness, it is truth in all that we do. That if we are in Christ Jesus and we live in the Spirit, we will have these things, and they'll be exposed through us and in the way we live. Verse 14, light makes everything visible. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. And Brother Ken did a great job with this passage last night. But those who sleep are unaware of what's going on. They're dead in darkness and lost in self. But I try to imagine in my mind what Lazarus felt when he saw the light of day after being in the tomb for 4 days. Of what it would be like to wake up from being dead and from our sins and transgressions, that moment that we are enlightened, the moment our salvation. I think about that moment that I first found Jesus Christ, and that light shined in my heart for the first time, and I realized that there's something bigger than the mess that I am, and that God can do something more in my life than I thought he could possibly do. And that light is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so I just imagine Lazarus seeing the light of day for the first time, and I can't imagine what it would be like for me to see the face of Jesus for the first time when my time comes. And I see the light of his love. And I'm looking forward to that time, but I want to be a person of light today. This is a quote from Spurgeon. He says, "This sleepiness in the Christian is exceedingly dangerous. Christians can be sleepy also, because he can do a great deal while he is asleep that he will make him look as if he were quite awake. We can speak when we are asleep. We can hear when we are asleep. We can walk when we are asleep. We can sing when we are asleep. We can think when we are asleep. We could be sleepwalking in Jesus Christ and not even know it." I'm afraid that's what I was getting until last night. I was sleepwalking through my walk with Jesus Christ. I was just trying to get through day by day, trying to embrace what was happening inside of me, and trying to embrace what's going on in the world around me, and trying to embrace all these things, knowing that God is with me, but not really knowing the power that I knew once did before. And I realize that now. I realize that now. I was walking asleep in many ways. I was beginning to drift off asleep. And God calls us to be awake, to wake up, O sleepers, to be aware, to be sharp. And it's hard sometimes to be sharp when you wake up in the morning, but to be sharp, to be alert, to be aware of what God is doing and what God calls us to do. Verses 15 through 17, living by the Spirit's power. Be careful, don't be foolish, be wise. Wisdom. Wisdom is that word in Hebrew that really deals with fear of the Lord. That if the true wisdom, according to the Proverbs, true wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God, it is having a great reverence for the Lord. It's a sense of understanding that wisdom is God is God and I am not. That's the first source of wisdom. So be careful, don't be foolish, but be wise and know that God is God. Make opportunity count in these evil days. Take every moment of each day and make it worthwhile. Don't act thoughtlessly, aware of God's desire. Don't just do things. Now, I'm not talking about plan out every moment of every day. Spontaneity is not a bad thing. But don't just do things just to do them. Don't just go through motions. Let there be purpose behind what you do. When you go to lunch, what is your purpose to eat? Is it just to go and get something to eat, or is it to fellowship with other people around you? Is it to be nourished by the food and be thankful for what God has given us in this food? Is it something more than just, I'm going to get something to eat and take a nap type of thing? Let every moment count in what we do. Make every day, every moment count. Walking light requires constant filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. It's constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's constantly being aware of God's presence in our lives. And finally, being joyful and thankful as believers, we must be filled with the Spirit rather than wine. Be filled with the Spirit rather than wine. And wine can be actual wine, or it could be any other thing that gives us joy that is not spiritual. Anything else that we like to embrace for our pleasure that is not spiritual. Anything else that we embrace that God cannot use for our own glory, we can get drunk on. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing cornhole. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I didn't want to embarrass anybody, so I didn't participate, but yeah. Right. But But there's nothing wrong with playing cornhole, but just be aware of what we're doing and do what is right, and don't be drunk with something. Don't be so caught up in football that you miss Sunday morning to go to church because you're going to go to a football game. Don't be drunk with those types of things. Be filled with the Spirit rather than wine, singing and making music to the Lord in our hearts. Give thanks for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. I love the singing that we've had in chapel, in our chapel services, and our services here in the tabernacle. I'm so grateful for the worship that we've had and the things that we do in there. And I'm grateful for all of you, and give thanks. I give thanks for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Give thanks for each one of you. And I'm grateful for who you are. And I wondered if, to close our time together, we could sing a song. Now, I'm not a good singer, but I think we all know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Yes? Can you help me sing it? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. Amen. I forgot to set my 15-minute warning, so my 5-minute warning, I just wanted to check to see what time it is. We got a few minutes. Any thoughts or comments that you'd like to make? Any questions? Yes, sir. Exactly, exactly. Our offering we give to God every day is a sweet savor. If it's the widow's two mites was a sweet savor offering to God. He smiled. He rejoiced in that offering that was given from the heart. Any offering that's given from the heart, any offering that's given from our desire to honor God is a sweet savor offering. And so whatever we do, actually, in our service to God is a sweet savor offering. If we're doing something for purely for God's sake and for the sake of the kingdom, it's a sweet savor offering. He rejoices in that offering that we give to Him. And so, thank you so much for bringing that up. So, very good. Anyone else? Yes. Well, I didn't catch all of it, what you said. But I think, are you talking about sin around us? How could we avoid it when people are sinning all around us? Well, it's just walk in the Spirit. I mean, we want to talk with people. We want to be with people who are sinners. We want to help them know Jesus Christ. But our life as a believer and the Holy Spirit within us is a witness. And our lifestyle should be a witness towards that. And so we don't want to be part of it. We don't want to be part of it. We don't want to touch any of it. But we don't want to be isolated either. We need to be witnesses to the faith. And so with that, then, it requires us to be fully in Christ every day, to be that witness and not be affected by the sin around us. Yeah. Is that what you were asking? Okay. I couldn't hear the first part. I'm sorry. Okay. Anybody else? All right, well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and I thank you, God, for these people. I thank you, God, for your presence with us. I thank you, God, that you see us, that you see everything about us, and you love us. And God, we're grateful that you have walked with us these years, and I praise you, God, that you walk with us the rest of the way, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, that you see us as we are, and you love us anyway. And God, you're making us into the people that we can possibly, the best people we could possibly be. And that's all that we can ask, Lord, and we just want to be your people. We want the people of God that make a difference in this world, that our lives will be a witness. The best sermon has no words. It's an action. It's a way of living. And God, help us to be good preachers. Lord, just go with us from this place, Lord, and help us be with our service coming up. Be with the speaker, dear Lord, and bless him and give him the words to say for us. But God, we just give you this day and ask that you would take it and use it to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.